Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I'm grateful that each and every one of you that will join us tonight. We're grateful for the opportunity to present to you again on this Tuesday, March the 15th. My in time flying. We were just talking about Happy New Year's. Tuesday, March 15th, 2022. We appreciate everyone. 657-383-0944. That is the number. Call and join the live podcast, National Dialogue. All right? We'll get through our monologue and we'll get going here. For our new listeners, tonight we have a monologue. Sometimes we don't, but we do tonight. Sometimes we just have an open forum where you share your ideas, your thoughts, and we try to keep up with you. But tonight we do have a focused topic that brings us to our introduction here. Now, when we consider the plight of urban American youth in 2022. And we talked about that a little bit last week, about some things that will focus the purpose of education, right? And then what do we center around in teaching young folk? But it becomes obvious that there is a common variable, right? Condition. That condition of their first exposure to society is their family influence. First time they become aware or impacted by social behaviors. And it has a tremendous impact on their lives growing up over the years, all of us. Now, while this does not mean that they are in any way doomed or destined necessarily, it does serve as a guide for fixing that which is broken in far too many urban American families. So tonight I'd like you to join me as we facilitate this constructive dialogue that is focused on putting broken families back together, addressing those issues. That's what we'd like to do tonight. Thus, our topic is focus on the family. Focus on the family. 657-383-0944. That is the number you can call and participate with us live in the studio here. If you're following us on Facebook Live, you may post your question and your comment there as well. But we certainly encourage you to give us a call. I like to think that we have a friendly environment, and we will, again, make sure that your voice is heard. And sometimes we don't necessarily agree on various points. but we can disagree agreeably. How about that? All right. So on this March 15th, Tuesday night, March 15th, 2022, we'll get right into a monologue here. Why don't we? And then we'll open up our phone lines. I got a group that, if you're old enough, you'll understand who they are. And they're going to help me intimate this idea about the focus on the family here. So y'all bear with me. We'll get to them in just a little bit. Let's get through this monologue there briefly. Again, the number to call, 657. You can go ahead and park your place in the studio. 657-383-0944. That is the studio for blogtalkradio.com. All right? Okay. Proverbs, the 15th chapter in the 25th and 27th verse, or 5th through the 27th verse, reads like this. Consider it. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Lastly, verse 27, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. He that hateth gifts shall live. Interesting. I think that is tangential to what we're trying to intimate here about the family. What is the focus of creating a home or family environment for young people? The text, I believe, helps us, gives us some focus. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his house. So your values that you're teaching, your focus. Sometimes young folk grow up thinking it's all about material things, keeping up with the Joneses, if you will. You can cause trouble in your house. You understand what I'm saying? But he that hateth gifts shall live. All right. In the text, or I should say in the context of society, a family is a group of people related either by birth, by marriage, or relationship. This is consistent with what Henry Campbell Black of the Black's Law Dictionary defines it as from a legal perspective. Now, realizing that that has evolved over time and courts have allowed for varying definitions of family, constitutional, what makes a family, given various circumstances. I recognize that. But generally, there is a functional meaning of what the family is. This family, in the traditional sense, members of an immediate family may include a spouse, parents, brothers, sisters, a son, a daughter. Members of the extended family, however, may include grandparents or your uncles, your aunties, your cousins, your nephews, your nieces, even in-laws, right? Siblings. The family is the principal institution, beloved, for the first socialization of children. Now, I hear somebody saying, what if you don't have a family? What if they grew up and that is unfortunately true. The lack of a family structure has an impact as well. And that's essentially what we're talking about here with our focus on the family. You're correct. That guides our conversation tonight. And what I'm alluding to is the fact that as a basic unit, the family is primarily responsible for rearing and shaping children. Anthropologically and sociologically, this is a well-known and accepted idea, concept around the world, that our family is our first introduction, indeed, to the world, right? Now, when we think about it and we look at it again from sociological and anthropological terms, there are some ways to describe it. What we're talking about, there's just a mother and children. And we see that a good deal in present day for various reasons. That's typically known as a matrifocal family, Just the mama and their children. again, there are a lot of reasons for that, and I hope we can, you will join me as we dive into that. When we're talking about the sense where there's a husband and a wife, and they have offspring, they have children, and perhaps even to some degree the nuclear family, we're talking about a conjugal family structure. Conjugal family structure. And the avuncular structure is where you have, we have that a lot today too, grandparents rearing their grandchildren. Or sometimes an older sibling finds themselves taking care of their younger siblings. That happens a lot. And that's the avuncular structure of family. As I mentioned earlier, the courts have had to recognize that there are various circumstances under which young people are growing up, particularly in urban American settings. And oftentimes, it's because there's no real people that are responsible for procreating a life, oftentimes didn't have a real plan for building and structuring a healthy family. That's something that we have to come to grips with when we think about the issues that are confronting young people in 2022 and why it is we're seeing so many of them not do well or not embrace education, as we were talking about last week, and they tend to find themselves, let me be clear, it's not everybody, but we're talking about a specific segment or population within the urban America construct, tend to find themselves on the peripheries of society and facing law enforcement in negative ways. To fix this, we must understand it, and to understand that we must examine it. To examine it, we must recognize that it exists. It's real. Okay? Lastly, if I would emphasize the extended family a little bit more, the extended family structure, that's where you have parents and children that reside with other people. Sometimes it could be people that are not even related to them. And this is a very common situation now in many places where you have multiple people staying together. And again, young children have no control over the influences, essentially of strangers that are brought in by their parents or by their siblings or by their friends or cousins, right? They have to live there no matter who or what these people are or what their influences are. They have very little choice in the matter. Perhaps if they could, they would tell them, get out of here, but they can't. You see, that's a focus that we should look at that becomes a strain on the context of influences for these young people, male and or female. Oftentimes, it is the reason many of them seek to run away, to escape these things, you see. And in their minds, that's the best way. I'll go somewhere where I feel like I'm protected, I'm secure, I'm loved. And the truth of the matter is oftentimes children are adjudicated and they find themselves in the custody of state agencies, foster care, right? Not the children's fault. Not the children's fault. We shouldn't beat them up for it. But to understand how you can help support and educate their progenitors, their parents, their legal caregivers, custodial authority in their life, then I think it's important for us to have this conversation. Hence, we're talking again about focusing on the family. Some people are adamantly opposed to focusing on the traditional or historic structure of the family because it doesn't allow them to live alternative lifestyles that they want. And it clashes with certain important lessons that should be taught to children in their growth and development at home. We hear it a lot. We talked about it last week and previously on this show, how it starts in the family. But what if the people with the custodial authority don't know? Can the children wait on them to figure it out? No. No, because they have social, emotional, developmental needs. And there are certain lessons that should be taught to them at a certain period in their life, their growth, and their development. Hence, it's very important that we not allow them to go without this very, very, very important instruction, guidance, and socialization. Research has identified several characteristics possessed by successful families. What do you mean successful, Dr. Green? We can't really define success and cookie cut it for everybody, right? But there are some things that individuals over the years have been able to identify, some lessons, some influences that they've been able to identify with their children being able to be productive citizens, making contributions to society and the world, having a healthy self-concept and identity of themselves, and being able to make a difference. By that, that's what I mean in the context of our conversation, by successful families. Families that do well in each of these areas have fewer problems and are able to deal more effectively with problems that arise that confront them. Now, on the other hand, families that have difficulty in these areas that I'm about to make reference to, they tend to have more problems, and their problems tend to remain unresolved throughout their lives. Sometimes people in families, whole families, pass on without resolving issues. I can speak to that personally, and I don't know anybody that's exempt from it, but that's a reality. Let me just go through these things that we're talking about. It's about six of them, and just briefly let me talk about some of these practices by way of consideration as we focus on the family. And this is why that's very important, because if children don't have their first orientation or their first socialization, their first teaching is off, invariably they're going to be affected. We see that oftentimes in school settings where when children come into kindergarten and certain precursors to learning, in other words, socializing of their behavior, are missing, they have a hard time getting along with other people. You see, there are precursors, yes, to reading and to doing math and to thinking logically, keeping up and following. We'll get into them in just a minute here. Let me offer these six practices, okay, that have proven themselves to be beneficial and most rewarding to parents and their children. Problem solving. This can be defined as the family's ability to resolve issues on a level that maintains effective functioning. A lot of times, issues such as income for the family, right? Value base between the father and the mother, or internal or external influences of children. When a family are able to address those things and they're able to resolve conflict internally within the family, guess what? They can function as one unit quite well. A lot of times children attempt to manipulate by playing one parent against another because there's not a constant value base or base of understanding between the people that are responsible for their care and their instruction. And children pick up on that. Problem solving. That's what we're talking about. The next one is communication. Communication, we'll define it in the context of our discussion tonight, as the way verbal and even nonverbal information is exchanged within a family. Ineffective family communication, depends on several factors, including clear and direct communication between each member in the family. the ability to listen to other people and pay attention to what they're saying. These are essential skills for effective family communication. When siblings don't know how to communicate or speak to one another in a respectful manner, in a loving manner, it causes problems. When parents don't know how to speak in a instructive, supportive tone to their children, it's all about the children being afraid and intimidated. It causes problems. Oh, yeah, they'll obey you while you're there. They'll listen to you out of fear. But oftentimes they lack understanding. You with me? So being able to communicate with your children on a level that even when they're acting inappropriate or outside of expectations for them, you can redirect them in a loving way and they understand that I'm correcting you or I'm disciplining you, not because you are bad, blank, 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 but because you are my child, I love you, and I want you to do well. You see what I mean? Communication, very key. Then we talk about family roles. This is one of the things that is adverse to a lot of idioms and ideas today that many are promulgating that are antithetical to healthy family structure. Okay? And that is family roles. Some people don't want roles. I don't want no role. I do what I want to do. How dysfunctional is that? Family roles are recurrent patterns of behavior. Let me say that again. They are recurrent patterns of behavior. Yes, the way you act should be consistent. By which family members fulfill their functions. Yes, there's a function in the family for everybody. When somebody's out of place, you cause dysfunctionality within the family, starting with the parents. Starting with the parents. This is why it's important for every family to have their own set of values and have a place by which these values can be protected, sustained. And children can learn about these values outside of what else is going on. You hear people talk about, well, you ain't going to be able to be with your children, and they'll get out there and peer pressure. The best defense against peer pressure is teaching children early how to identify the importance of establishing a role or function for them internally first, so that when they go outside of their home, why it's important for them to show respect, trust, honesty, courage. You understand what I'm saying? Even if everybody else is jumping off a window, jumping out of windows. That's the power of roles within the family. How to be a responsible individual as a man or as a woman. This is modeled by the parents first, see? Yes, they are the first and important voice of authority in the child's life. And it's not all the time what they say, but what they do. These are the roles, the family roles. What they do is establish clear expectations, right? And they're directly connected to a family's ability to deal with normal and unexpected changes, as we made reference to earlier, in terms of resolving problems. We know at the end of the day, no matter what's going on, we're going to look to one another. And we have an unwritten code. See, when you're with your children, one of the ways you keep them from being abducted and what have you is that they understand no stranger got any business getting too close to me. And there's a certain time that I either verbally or unverbally hint to my parents that I see or fear danger. Are you with me? Roll. Family roles. Next one is effective responsiveness. Effective responsiveness. What that mean, Doc? What you mean by that? Break those words down. Well, in the family, it is the family's ability to respond emotionally to other family members in the most appropriate manner. Even if they're hurting and they're acting out. Best example of this is the prodigal son. One brother felt like, man, I did everything right, and this guy gets all this glory, right? You teach empathy and apathy for one another that extends out to others. This is the responsiveness, effective responsiveness, right? These family members learned this early on. Families need to be able to share and feelings so such that love and tenderness and joy and fear and anger can be addressed. And don't be afraid to share that with one another. Can't even talk to your brother, your sister. Sometimes strangers have more attention from you than your siblings. This is a major breakdown. Now, so what are you saying, Doctor? I'm suggesting you to that these are best practices. Even in urban America, we can begin to instill these things. Okay? Involvement. We talk about effective responsiveness. Now, what is involvement? It is the way in which family is as a whole shows the interest and values and activities and interests in individual family members. It should be well understood that if your brother, your sister is involved in, let's say they have a performance somewhere, you're not going with your friends. You're going to support your brother, your sister. Are you with me? Huh? Your best friend is going to be your sibling, your brother, your sister in his household. You're going to look out for them before anybody else. If they're going, you're going. Now, as you get older, you kind of branch out and that sort of thing. But when you're growing up under the same roof, in the same household, under the same values, you ever mess with one of us, you better break out because you're about to get bum rushed. That's how we do it. You understand what I'm saying? Effective family involvement in with one another. Then, lastly, behavioral control. This is perhaps one of the most significant virtues or values that a family can maintain. What is behavioral control doctrine? Well, it refers to patterns of actions, behaviors that the family adopt for dealing with their whole family circumstances. A lot of times you look and see what the Joneses are doing, and children have a tendency to want to keep up with their friends and what they do, and they miss out on what's key to their own family. So they lose a sense of themselves, even if that family is struggling financially, right? As long as they're together in their struggle, that makes the difference. That makes a difference. And that's what you tell children. No, right now, daddy, mama can't afford to give you the things that you see other people with. And sometimes you don't even need those things. They don't need them. You understand what I'm saying? But here's what's important to us. This is how we love one another. And when you get grown, when you work and you establish yourself, if that's what you just got to have, you can have that. But the most important thing is to have love and control for what we do in this house and out there. Now, some people think that's too hard. That's too much to put on children. Well, I tell you what, if you don't, you'll suffer another way. You'll suffer another way. And that's what we're making reference to here. Now, we're almost ready. 657-383-0944. I promised you that I was going to turn to a group to help us to intimate this thought and this idea about the focus on the family. And just for a second, bear with me as I bring this long-time group in. If you're old enough, you know who they are. They call themselves Sly and the Family Stone. Yeah, they sing this song quite well. Here we go. 657 833-0944. Come on, y'all. Give me a call. Join me here. And we'll be happy to engage you. It's a family affair. Number 657-383-0944. Give us a call here. Join us in this conversation. We're talking about focus on the family. We spoke of it a little bit last week. It's a family affair. Another child in the same family.
Somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them.
That's right.
You see, it's in blood. Both kids are good around. Blood's thicker than the mud. It's a family affair.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Brother Dockery, and we on tonight on this Tuesday. Wow, March 15th, 2022. Give us a call here. We go straight to the phone lines, and we're talking from the topic, focus on the family. And this is kind of related to what we talked about last week in terms of the importance of what do you teach young people. See, one of the things is about the importance of family in the lessons. We just went over earlier in the monologue some key values that should be passed on that are ideal because they are related to successful children's growth and development through families. But we go to the phone line. St. Louis is joining us here and on Talk Straight. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Pretty good, Ruben. How you doing?
Man, I won't complain. I'm still fat head and ugly, but, you know, it's all right. It's going to be all right, ain't it?
Well, you said that. I didn't.
So you don't put it on you, huh? Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'll put it on me.
St. Louis, we're speaking about, well, I said we, but I in the monologue, I focused on the importance of valuing family. We keep saying that it starts at home. It starts at home. It starts with the family. That is true. But I realized that a lot of people don't, I mean, what does that mean? You know, and I covered the fact that increasingly the courts are allowing different definitions of family. You know what I mean? So it's becoming very confusing to a lot of people. And what say you there?
Well, yes, it does start at home. If you don't have a functional home, stable, organized home setting, then I don't know what to tell you. I mean, we do it in football and basketball. Everybody want to have the advantage of the home court to open up the contest, don't they?
Yes, sir,
why don't they do it when it comes down to family life?
That's a good thought there, man. Yeah. Who don't want home field advantage, man?
So that's when you don't have a functional home like today, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I think you don't got the best that you're going to get out of what you call American black society in general. I really do. I don't think you're going
to
get any of this.
Explain it to me.
Because you spent millions and millions of dollars, millions of conversations, lectures, movies, books, and everything else has been written. And when you come to look at the data is still dismal. Not all, but few. And you know it's something because when you got one person that they all of a sudden come along and they do something extraordinary, they dang near have a ticker tape parade for that one person who is an exception, not the norm. Now, I'm not taking anything from them, but they are. Then they keep talking about history, going back talking about what somebody did, which they really didn't do. like they talk about Banneker built Washington, D.C. Well, he did not build Washington, D.C. He did not lay it out because one, if you know anything about surveying, one person cannot do surveying. You cannot lay out meets and bounds with one person. And to come to find out, he was a member of a six-man team.
Okay. I see what you're saying. But he got the full credit for the construct of the layout and the engineering. And
he gets the credit amongst a certain group.
I see. Okay. Well,
and I'm not taking nothing from anybody, but my goodness, if the person is riding a horse, why are you writing him down as riding a giraffe or elephant?
Okay. I get you. Well, we're joined by our co-host here, Pastor Wallen. Pastor, what do you think about the desire for home field advantage? You know, and one of the things that I discussed in the monologue is how the family is losing its muster and importance. Not everybody's family. Let me be clear about that. Not everybody's. But too many, especially in the environments that we've been targeting, it's not important to a lot of people. You understand? It's every man for himself, even in households. What do you think about that, Pastor? He even made an interesting point about everybody wants home field advantage, so let's focus on the home. What do you think about that, Pastor Wallen?
Yeah, all right, Pastor Doctor. There ain't no home field advantage. There's no home field advantage, brother.
Wow.
No, sir. In sports, ain't no home field advantage. You throw that ball up, you know, you call the game, and you get it started. Ain't no home field advantage.
No matter where you are.
That's, you know, okay, if you're playing the game, there's no home field advantage. I'm just talking about my experience. Because if it's home field advantage, I'm not coming over there to play. I'm not coming over there to play because you got the advantage of me. It's like that means I'm going to lose. You got the advantage means that I got the upper hand, and I didn't go about it like that. When I played ball, I played when I was at home. When I was away, I played like I was at home. When I was away, I couldn't play no other way because I'm dressing out, they're dressing out. The game gets started. You know, we both have the same opportunity, so it's not no home field advantage. I mean, from what I've learned. I played sports a long time.
Right.
I've heard people say that so much, but I've also seen people lose. I've seen so many people lose at home, you know.
Yes.
I've seen a lot of that. It's just that kind of talk is just something that's not true. It's not my saying. It's just my experience.
I see what you're saying. I follow your logic there, big brother.
Even though it sounds good, we got a home field advantage. Do you know that there's a team in Nashville that just had that going on, and whoever came in Nashville, they beat them.
Wasn't long ago. But now, is there something to the Pastor? Hold right there. Is there something to the argument that if your fan, man, your fan base in the stands, if they pumping you up and they making a lot of, you know how you go to the free throw line and boy you just make a bunch of noise. That home field, that don't mean nothing if you focus.
That don't put it in the bucket. That do not put it in the bucket because they're making noise. And they don't make nobody miss because they're making noise. You know, and that's the thing about it. Now what I do know is That's why I understand that the word of God says, you know, and it means what it says. And, you know, the word says, unless Satan get the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. That's a device of the enemy that's using that, you know, to make it seem like they have the advantage. And that's going on still today. There are people right today that think they do have the advantage. But I know from what I've learned, and that's what I go on. I stand on it, and I appreciate learning it. You know, it's just like to expose the enemy. That's something that needs to be done, man, because those words are powerful. Just think, if I went for that home field advantage, and I'm going there, and I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I had no knowledge about the Bible then. I'm just a kid growing up, and we got to go over to Watkins Park. You know, in other words, you go over to Watkins Park, they got the advantage over you. And I'm thinking, why are we going over here to play then? You know, I was a little kid then and thought like that. So When I got over there at Wapping Park and I was a baseball pitcher, you know what I used to do, Pastor Doctor?
What's
that? I would bat down with that pitch, try to strike everybody out who got up to bat, man, because I have to play to win, and that's the way it was. So I don't go for the home field advantage. That's personal with me, though. It's not against anybody else, though. But.
No. Well, so you understand the context of what we're talking about here in terms of focus on the family. If you are a person, though, that comes from a family background or construct that you don't have that lesson of self, of confidence in yourself. You understand, Brother Christian? You don't get that encouragement. It's easy for you to be swayed by noise and distraction and other players that mean mug you and talk stuff on the court and point it. You know what I mean? If you don't have the confidence in you. How many people have that, though?
Yeah.
Really? And when we think about it, particularly in urban America, when we think about the challenge there for so many fine young people. I was talking to one of my agents earlier about how, man, look, I'm convinced that anybody can do well under the right circumstances. Anybody can be a winner.
Yeah.
Under the right circumstances, you know. Unfortunately, too many of them don't have that structure, don't have the value base that is ideal for their growth and their development from a young age, you know, the influences. So that's I'm sorry, did you want to respond to that and then we'll bring St. Louis in?
No, go ahead.
All right.
I'm all right. I just wanted to...
No, that was a good point. I see your logic, man. What I'm hearing you say is it don't matter what nobody else do. I'm coming to win. I'm in it to win it.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm focused on. That's what you're saying? Is that a good
way to
say it? Okay.
That's where I've always played like that when I was growing up. I didn't play, you know, that I'm gonna lose because we came up the street and you live down the street and we both playing baseball against each other. So there's an offense and there's a defense and it's time to play the game. I mean, that was interesting. It was a lot of fun, you know, but we were trying to win. I didn't go over there saying, I know I'm gonna lose, so there's no need in me trying to do my best. No, I didn't have that type of attitude.
But you,
I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah, gentlemen, you all
and let
do
me tell
know.
Go ahead. Now, when I graduated from high school, we used to still go play ball on every side of town that we ended up at. And we were playing outside a lot of times and, you know, inside. And we used to win most of the games. I'm talking about when I say most of the game, man, I mean, we used to win most of the game. The people was just eager to try to beat us. And, I mean, went up to a place one time, man, and even though it was at their place, they beat us down. They beat us down. I mean, beat us down. Very good game, but I call it a beat down to me because we didn't beat them. And that was one of the things that I had a chance to remember. But it wasn't like they had home field advantage. It's just like, you know, we lost the game. Even though they was playing at home, but they didn't have the advantage because they was at home, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just the way sports is, man. It's just like, and who that team that's in Nashville? That's the team that I'm talking about, the football team that just lost not long ago.
Yeah,
the team that came in Nashville, and they was like, they was here to play, man. They wasn't here to say hey, they're gonna beat us because they're at home. You know, and they didn't have as many fans, I don't think, as the team that's from here. But they was eager, man. When they was running out on the field, they had made one play. But guess what they was doing? Making a lot of noise. I mean, sounding good. They were just hoorah. You know what I mean? And they're excited. They're adrenaline. All that was, you know, it was beautiful. But they still lost the game.
Yeah. I get you. Well, let me pose this to both you gentlemen. Now, I hear people say that everybody can't have the perfect background or structure. So the inference is you should make excuses or make room for dysfunctional behaviors, the manifestation of dysfunctional behavior, disruptive behaviors, right? Things you ain't got no business doing. And a lot of times we see that. It happens a lot in public schools where children come displaying things that they've seen at home or in their immediate environment, and people pat them on the back, say, it's okay, it's all right. Now, St. Louis, do you think there's room for that, or is that where we stop and we – but see, because as a society, everybody's not in agreement on appropriate behavior and encouraging appropriate behaviors and expectations. But do you think that's where we how helpful do you think it is to make excuses for inappropriate behaviors? St. Louis, you there? Okay, maybe he's muted. I'm not sure. Maybe he stepped away. Pastor Waller, what do you think about that? Do you think it's important to redirect young people or make concessions and or excuses for what they say and what they do?
Hey, man. Yeah, that hey, Pastor Doc.
I'm listening.
Say that again.
My question was, sounds like you, St. Louis, you back with us? Okay. So my question was, and this is in general, when we see young people acting out inappropriately, right, and they're displaying things that they learned from their home context or even their neighborhood, and particularly I'll use the example of in the public schools, oftentimes people pat them and say, that's okay, that he, you know, we understand where he come from. Or should we?
Yeah, I'm back, Ruben. I had to step away for a second. Somebody else called me.
Okay, no problem. No, give me 1 second. I'll come right back to you. Pastor,
yes, sir.
We're going to respond to this, and I'd like for you to, as well. Pastor, and so they say, that's okay, we understand, and don't, you know, or should we redirect the inappropriate behavior? And I went on to say, Pastor, that I realize that as a society, everybody's not in agreement about what is appropriate and inappropriate, particularly for young people in society. Go ahead, Pastor. You understand my question now?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, young people have a way of doing things. You know, they have a mindset, most, and you know, they have to, you know, to learn how to do things up on their own, understanding, mm-hmm. and they lean to that a lot of times. It causes them to get in a lot of trouble. That's understandable because that's
sure.
what is designed. You see, when
right.
something is designed, it's like you were saying about, you know, home field advantage. You know, when people who call themselves rulers of the world, that's saying we got the advantage over people. And so we can cause things to happen that would not happen had it not been for us. In other words, a lot of people don't even think evil takes place. You know, that's a thing that says, you know, good exists, but watch out. Don't think evil don't. So if everything was like good, you know, these kids would be doing what? Good constantly. But they got some things out there that would trap them kids, that would control their mind, and then they'll start doing certain things. And then not anybody want to admit that they was being tripped up by somebody that intentionally would do that.
Okay.
You know, there are people that would actually intentionally do things to kids, and they cannot help it but to get captured because it's the plan, you know. And if it's the plan and you don't know how to escape, guess what's going to happen? I'm an example to that. It happened to me. Young, innocent kid got snatched up. Yes, sir. So it actually happened, man. We got some real, some kids that I believe that deserve a chance to find out that it's okay to know that I'm honest with myself. I got caught in a trap, but I found a way to get out of it by calling for help, maybe looking for somebody who can encourage me. And so it's just something about kids, man. They got a mind, and they've been faced with a lot of things.
Okay.
A lot of things that's being presented to them. I mean,
okay.
A lot.
I see. I'd like to come back when St. Louis, let's hear from St. Louis. I'd like to revisit that in just a moment there. St. Louis, you care to respond to that?
Well, yeah, but like I said before, the things that you depend on the schools to do, and that's supposed to be done at home. When a child go to school, a child should be learning the basics, reading, writing, arithmetic, and things that have modernized and sprung off of it. American history. If you want to teach some black history is American history. But if you want to get into some of these other conversations I hear people have, that needs to be held in your churches and community ventures. You can't do that in public schools because you don't have the time. Then you got diverse backgrounds within them classrooms. Well, what's the Somalis going to do? What's the Bosnians going to do? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I follow that. Well, that's interesting. I'd like to respond to that because I think that this is key to what both of you all are saying. I like to believe that there is a defense to peer pressure. And what I'm hearing is when you're in a mixed environment with a whole lot of other people, the question is what influence is going to prevail? You see what I mean? Who is it that's going to be sucked up or succumb to other people's influences? And I submit to you all that when the voice of a father and a mother and a child knows who they are. Now, I realize that this is unfortunately not the case for many, and I pointed that out in the monologue. And this is why the courts increasingly are allowing for varied definitions of family structures, right? But if you ask me, it speaks to the cause and the root cause of the things that challenge young people, good young people. Now, I'm not saying they're bad people, but it challenges them the most when they're absent of certain things. Now, when a father and a, for instance, and if I could use myself as a personal example, what I taught my daughter is you don't tell no little nappy head rascal that my daddy don't want me to talk to you. You tell her, I don't hear you talking about nothing. You're talking loud, but you ain't saying nothing. You understand what I'm saying? But when children are able to, this is kind of what Pastor Wiley was saying, there are a lot of young folk who don't know how to distinguish between the choice of right and wrong, good and evil, up and down. Never been taught that. So they don't know the difference. You understand what I'm saying? And that's a challenge. And that is a lot of times people point the blame on children, them bad children, you know, and I knew that was going to happen because they live in the projects, right? That's oftentimes the conversation. But the truth of the matter is you can't blame the children. It's the environment that we have to work. And if, and I'm going to put myself, on the cross here, if as a pastor and as somebody who is an advocate for people, I really care, I should go and have a conversation with their families and their neighborhoods about how we can protect them and keep them away from those negative.
Well, when you say the environment, yes, the parents are responsible to make sure that a child is exposed and brought up in a good environment, even if it's just one room in the house.
That's true.
That's the parents' responsibility. Hey, white folks ain't got nothing to do with that.
No,
nothing
they don't.
Whatsoever. But I hear blacks blaming, not all, but you got this particular voices, these particular groups that constantly are throwing these type of narratives out there. You got it so bad that when some, like that one black down in Louisiana, when the police was, or highway patrol was behind him with his lights on, he immediately panicked because some blacks had told him, man, the white police stop you, they're going to kill you. And that was in his mind.
I see. Okay.
And people believe this stuff out of no found reason whatsoever because when you look at the numbers, it just ain't there.
Well, you know that there have been incidents that have been oftentimes blown out of proportion by the media. Right? Misinformation.
Yeah, the media is your bad enemy. Look at this thing with Jussie Smollett. Him getting 100. He should have got some years off of that.
Well, hey, man. Somebody put a photo out with he and the singer braiding his hair or washing his hair in jail.
That's why you got to protect your own kids. You cannot let these government schools have your children because they got anything going up into them. Then you can. It's just like black women. Black women are raising these boys by themselves.
Oftentimes.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Oftentimes.
Then they are whining, and but they can't find no good man.
Hmm.
Well, hell, you raised them.
When you say, okay, you're saying the sons grow up not to be good men. Is that what you're suggesting? That what you're saying, St. Louis? That their sons grow up to be. Now, there are some women that do a pretty good job, St. Louis.
Listen, you said some. We're talking about 11 million in school.
Okay. You know, there are many. I'm saying some because I can't give you an exact number because I can't speak for every place. But I just happen to know of examples of people that come from broken families, broken homes. And by broken, I mean there's not the balance structure of a father and a mother and that sort of thing. That's what I mean by that.
You know, here's the thing, Ruben. If it wasn't a problem, why are everybody always talking about it until you get to the details? Then when you get to the details, they come to some excuses. These are problems. These are problems that they don't want to face.
Well, that's true.
Who controls that school district? Let's put it like this. Who should be controlling that school district?
Now, the parents should be controlled.
Their school district. Now, here's another thing. These school districts have black superintendents, principals, teachers, and counselors. Those are blacks in there. Not going on, how in the heck you going to blame white folks? Well, you got white folks in the Capitol, and they pick up the phone, they call. Well, how many times did a bill collector call your phone and you don't answer?
Okay. I don't think it's helpful to blame anyone. When you see you have a problem, look first at yourself and ask yourself, what must I do?
You're absolutely right. That's your problem.
To resolve my issues. Now, if I find that, for instance, there are individuals who I can directly link to my demise, my setback, call them out, deal with that. Part of your resolution is to get them off your back. I get that. But the first
You're absolutely part, right.
First and foremost
you know
important.
Uh-huh.
One second. The first and foremost important thing would first be to examine your own situation, right? And see what it is that you can do to change your condition. It may mean extracting a lot of people out of your life, you know, changing mm-hmm. where you go, who you go with, what you do, and everything. But go ahead. What were you gonna say?
I mean, it's just like these people, it be hyping up this racism, like they say that the day wouldn't allow the man to be in the house. And I asked him, I say, and you know what they're talking about. They're talking about the welfare.
I've said that before.
Now, listen, let me say this. Okay. There's no laws on the book where it said that a male could not be in the house when that a family was receiving government assistance. Can't nobody show me that.
No, it doesn't.
Here's what the thing is. This is why. Because there's a formula. If you by yourself, lady, you get more. If it's you and your husband, you get less.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they said that if you're going to have somebody here, they need to contribute to the household.
Okay. All right.
That's what it was said. Now, so if it's a lady and she got a boyfriend staying there, well, she going to get less. Because he's supposed to be contributing to the household. What lazy son of a gun going to lay up and eat up all the food of the kids and you going to let him do that? The government ain't going to keep giving that, putting things into that house.
Okay. All right.
That's where that came in effect. That's why come they looked around for underwear and shoes and stuff all in the closet.
What? Well, so... If I wait till you finish, I want to respond to you there. Because I was one of those that asserted that as a direct result of or product of certain policies, what happened, it led to or it augmented at least the example of fathers not being in homes. Now, here's one of the things. You're right. You got more money if you were damsel in distress. single parent mom, and you know, you can make yourself look like you and your children were just gonna die if they didn't get the government mm-hmm. get resources. But the reality is there were a lot of men and women who they made the choice and the decision that before we get caught up in that, we're going to bust that tail and work. And before 1960 or so, you had a lot of black businesses, families that owned their own businesses because mm-hmm. they understood the relationship between economic independence and the ability to freely govern their family without government interference. And that's why when I say that the government played a role in the breakdown and demise of that, unfortunately, many people played that game, gentlemen, and they, you know, males would say to their females, to their wives and to their significant others, listen, you get that money and I'll go and do a little hustle on the side, then I'll come back in when the social worker ain't there. Usually that was after Friday, after they went home for the, because that's the Monday through Friday social workers come in. Every now and then they slip up on you, you know. But, and today what has happened, gentlemen, is that young people have seen the justification there, and it seems like the norm has become the standard for young folk to think it's okay for me to lay up on a gal and go do my thing.
Well, here, that's what I'm talking about. If they was keeping the man out the household, how did these women have all these babies?
Well, we know that they were not literally out of the household, but
that's what they say.
Well,
they say they wouldn't let the father. And you know, here's another thing too. How many fathers you going, and I'm not saying this to be facetious, but how many fathers you gonna have laying up in the house?
Well, you shouldn't have. I mean, I can't answer that question. How many? And then give it to
you got some women that don't have fathers that had babies by more than one male. So you ain't gonna have no two or three males laying up in the house.
Here's the thing, though, and I've mentioned this before. We talked a little bit about this last Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Like them or not, there are people that have different opinions about Moynihan and the Moynihan Report in 1965. But what I appreciate about it as I studied the document is that it inferred a way to empower those men using the welfare system to temporarily use that as a stepping stone to take care of their families. And what I don't like is that when you look at many of the policies that came after that, they did the exact opposite of what Moynihan suggested and laid out. And that was about empowering black males economically such that they can be self-sufficient. They can not only work on jobs, but to create, sustain, and maintain business enterprises. A lot of factors came into it, but I'm just saying that. And Pastor Waller, what we see today is there seems to be a lack of interest, collectively speaking. I'm seeing a little change in it now for the positive, but over the last 40 years or better, there's a lack of interest in wanting to own your own business. You can work for somebody else for 20, 30 years and retire. And sometimes you can't really see what you, what you've done to show for it. But the point is that I'm trying to make is that it seems to me that this entrepreneurial spirit, this independent spirit, has been doused. The fire, that desire has been put out by certain mindsets, certain teachings, certain encouragement, and even rewarding of certain behaviors. Pastor, were you trying to say something there? Pastor Waller, were you trying to say something there?
Yeah, I actually would say this, Pastor, because, you know, to work, that means, you know, exactly what it is. You know, work come in many forms, and that's just a part of the system when it comes down to work. But then also, people can learn to work for themselves. You know, that's not something that's, you know, that's foreign. It just may seem like it, but it can be done. That's
absolutely
so true. But even there are other ethnic groups of people that still go to work, clock in, and do things like that because they want to do it, not because they have to. They just probably like doing it. And they may be from a wealthy family. They may be from a family that don't have much of nothing. but just feel like to go to work and do things like that. May not even want to, as you were saying, own their own business and do things like that. However, it goes back to the choices. Then we got also the form of what we would call slavery. It's like that still exists. That's not something to pretend like it doesn't happen or it hasn't happened or it never was that way. It's something that says the Word of God says, and I'm just going on it. It talked about I was a slave for sin. Even in the midst of that, that's not talking about money. It's talking about you still can be a slave, you know what I mean, by trusting your own self. You can be a slave trusting your own self because the Word of God says that whosoever trusts in his own heart is a fool. And a person can be enslaved by doing that. And, I mean, there's just so many different forms of work. Satan has a job waiting for people, you know what I mean, whether they got money or not. Still has a job because, listen, why would he say something like this, guys? Let Satan get the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his device. Let's just say somebody got money, intelligent, smart, and he still can use him as a slave to, you know, to capture that person. A person that's poor, that don't have nothing, he can get captured by him to do his will. Because 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26 says that we may come to our senses and escape the snare, the trap of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. He didn't say rich or poor. He just said take captive by him to do his will. And that means work for him. Could you imagine, you know, people working for him and they could have money? They can work for him and don't have money. There's just so many things that has to do with the word work. And unfortunately, he got a lot of people working for him. I used to work for him big time, Pastor. I'm telling you, I know, I'm not going to deny it. He fooled me. He got me. And then I'm just going to stand up and admit it because I like getting credit where it's due. He put it on me. Yes, he did. He put it on me. And I worked for him.
Man,
I worked and worked and worked, man. I didn't even know how to get no sleep, man. I worked so much. Some people at least get breaks and everything when they go to work. They clock in, they get off and all that. That didn't happen with me.
I see.
You know, so I was glad to be free from working for him, man.
Well, let me ask you this then. If an individual, I'm going to use myself as an example, if I go to work for someone else, should I think that I can define to them how much they should pay me and what kind of benefits I should get? Now, you can negotiate that and you can determine I'm going to accept the job or not. But once I get it, should I try to tell them how much to pay me, what my wages are, if I accept the agreement initially on once I get hired? I mean, I hear a lot of conversation about raising the minimum wage, right?
Yeah, that's some of the things that makes it sound good. I give you a raise. Well, we'll just keep it at this little amount right here, and you'd be okay with it. Some people are just all right with it, and it's understandable. Yeah. But then, you know, it's like right now, all the work that I be doing, and I know I be working very much doing a lot of things. I understand that.
I see you out there.
And it's like.
I see you out there. I got my eye on you. I know you out there working.
Yeah. And see that's work. But guess what? How much they pay me financially to do it? You know. And I'm working.
Right.
And I know I'm working. But I'm working and I'm doing what I'm doing to please God. I'm not trying to, you know, to chase after no money because I already know what happened to me, man. I used to chase after money and didn't even know I was chasing at it. You know good and well that he had an advantage over me. Now, that wasn't on the basketball court either. That was like in life. He had the advantage over me, man. I'm like, man, that man. Look, when I say he do not play, man. When you get inside his kingdom and you go to work for him, he's going to work and you're not even going to know you're working for him. That's how cold he was with me. He said, that boy didn't even know, talking about me. He didn't even know he was working for me. I did not know I was working for him, man. I just found that out.
You know? I got you. Tonight we're going to end, and we got about another 19 minutes or so before we wrap up. But we've been talking about
focus on family. And if I can reiterate for anyone that just may be tuning in with us on our Facebook stream there, we still got a little time, 657-383-0944, number to call. What I began the show with intimating is the importance and the vital nature that a healthy, sound, whole family plays. And I've identified some things that are important such that children have the best chances for productive outcome. Having said that, I recognize that unfortunately there's been a demise and a breakdown in the family structure such that these things are missing. Problem-solving skills, the ability to communicate, identifying appropriate roles within the family, effective or effective responsiveness to family needs, effective involvement within families, and controlling one's behavior. Now, if you got that at home, when you step outside and you go anywhere, you understand what I'm saying? You would be able to maintain yourself. And as I was alluding to earlier, that's the best protection against peer pressure. Those values will protect the child because they know who they are. Talked last week about knowing what you're, one of the things you should teach when you're talking about educating is teaching a sense of purpose and identity. See, that'll keep you from being caught up by the snares of the enemy when you know who you are, whose you are, and what you're supposed to be doing. We heard from the stylistics about Olivia. What if Olivia knew not to go to grandma's house the way she was being laid down that Primrose Path, huh? And got turned out, lost and turned out. That's what they said. What if Olivia had a father that told her, baby, don't you go out there by yourself. Let me take you over to grandma's house. I'm going to check the front porch out first before you even go in. What if that would have happened, Pastor Wallace? Wouldn't her life been different? I'm just saying.
Hey, Pastor. If she hadn't had a glimpse of what was going on out there, you know what I mean? And he wanted to guide her and everything, but sometimes, you know, that right there doesn't take hold of the ongoing part of it because they'll still find their way to get out there if they want to get out there. And that's the thing, because some of us bring them up in the right ammunition, but yet still the temptation sometimes still get a grip on some of them. And that's when the love of the scriptures, they train up a child
in the way
to go, right?
And
in the midst of all of that when they venture out, they'll be thinking about what they have gone through and find their way back. And that happens sometimes too, you know. And that's a tough one to have to deal with. I know what you're saying. I know where you're coming from when you say that. It would be good for me to be able to guide her all the way through and that she would pay much attention to what I'm saying. But I found out that brother, even that, man, if they want to get with the in crowd, man, it won't be long. And that's when Olivia, with a smart, intelligent, possibly, and a good training, good upbringing. Look at, man, I've been seeing some things on the other ethnic group of people as well. Brother, look at, man, what they would do for money. Oh, that much.
Sure.
I've seen them do things for money. I didn't know they do things like that, man, until I got a chance to see it. And they was not people who was poor and didn't have anything.
Yes.
These were people who had plenty and more.
Material
and things. Still wasn't enough. Still wasn't enough, man. And that, to me, is where I was saying that the enemy would grab a hold to people, no matter whether they were wealthy or not. And take them down through there. And that's what I've learned here lately, man, just being able to realize, you mean tell me they had all of this?
Mm-hmm.
And they still wasn't satisfied, so they would kill their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know they have a policy coming.
Mm.
What? It wasn't like, you know,
right.
The person
right.
in the Bible, you know, the person in the Bible just wanted his money, he got it and went on out there and was living that lifestyle, right? But he came back, and the parents still loved on the person. But this person, what I'm talking about, people, they were killing their parents, man. for the money.
Sure.
For the insurance, found out they had something coming, and that to me reminded me of something.
Right.
It's just something about the power of having the advantage of people, man. Satan does not care where a person came from, who their parents are, what ethnic group they come from. If he can get what the Word of God says, you know how he said the enemy, the devil, comes to seek who he may do what? Devour?
Yeah.
And if he can devour a person faster and they get with it, he's going to devour them.
Right.
And he's not going to say, where your family at? Who? What you say?
Well, let there be no doubt about that. One of the most popular families we've known is the Jackson family. And just look at how all the money and fame they had, man. That didn't bring them happiness. I was seeing how they wearing my good friend Bill Cosby out, St. Louis. They wearing him out, man. They now all of a sudden stories are coming about his days at the Playboy house and the club and what have you. I'm like, yeah, man, all the good the man done, now they wearing them out, St. Louis. But it just goes to show when there's some issues or dysfunction, it don't matter who you are. That's what Pastor's saying. It can happen to you. You know, you can fall for those tricks. So, hey. I would just offer.
Right quick.
Go ahead, St. Louis. What are we going to say, St. Louis? St. Louis, were you going to say something?
Well, I was going to say that it gets back to the basics, and it's simple as that. You got those who will, and then you're going to have those who don't. Unfortunately, it's always going to be a small percentage of those who take things to the very next level. I mean, it just ain't for everybody to be in those exemplary positions, and especially black. Then I'm going to tell you something else, too, and this is what was told to me. And I've done study on it. And I've told you that before. And people that say that they believe in the Bible and the God, well, some of these in society, some of these families are probably got them curses on them. It's simple as that.
What?
Because Africans, because my wife told me this. My wife is Akamu from the Volta region of Ghana. She's Ewe. She said that some black Americans are living with generational curses.
Okay.
Because their ancestors committed some heinous things that they was caused to be expelled and sold off because they couldn't pay restitution.
I see.
And they didn't get, so either you're going to pay restitution, either you was going to be sold off, or you was going to get killed.
Interesting.
And you know yourself that you've heard people talk about these priests. These priests had the power to put curses on you, and people believe that.
Okay. Yeah, there were Dibias who were equal to priests and what have you, you know, and soothsayers and what have you. Absolutely.
Voodoo.
Voodoo,
however you want to pronounce it. And then you had your elderly back there, where you had a person in the community that was just notorious, and something happened to him. What would the old people say? He had it coming.
Well, you know, in the African construct, there were two types of funerals. One that was reserved to a nobleman or someone upstanding. And the other one where they throw your body over dung hill to rot, you know, because you were just a menace to society. So, but yeah, I mean, that, unfortunately, that's what we have to focus on. And in having this conversation, it's really not about, even if you see me wrong or see me down in a bad spot, it ain't about stepping on me, but it's about helping me.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to help me to improve. Now, I got to want to do that too. Let me say that now. I have got to want to participate in my own side. The Bible says, search your own soul salvation, right? You know what I'm saying? Work out your own soul salvation. You got to want to participate in your salvation, your recovery, your improvement. That's first and foremost. But I would argue that the desire to do that starts at home.
in the family. And this is why we should focus on the meaning of a family. When young people are starting out, they hooking up and what have you, somebody, pastor, preacher, ideally, I believe, ought to be there to tell them that this is what thus said the word in terms of your purpose for family. You know? You know, what's your expectation? What's your, you know, what's your guide there? So, good conversation, guys. We got about 9 minutes. St. Louis, you want to give me a final word? We'll wrap it up with that, and then we'll let Pastor Waller take us home.
Well, the thing is that when it comes down to the topic of the what you speak in today, it just goes back to one point, family. You have to build up family in societies. A society is weak if it doesn't have strong families. The families have to be knowledgeable. Here in the United States, I'm a United States citizen. I am not an African. My history is that of the United States of America. Now, yes, we may have some African heritage, but even whites with white skin have African heritage. And when you put all this emphasis on one side, just like when God was talking to Noah about the number of jugs of whiskey to bring. Okay. God wanted him to have one to put it right down the middle. Noah wanted to have one on each side to balance the boat that way. Well, it's the same thing when people be telling these stories. They only tell one side of the story. The genes in you, in the historical context that these genes have acquired, affect your actions today in some way or another. Blacks have a predominance of diabetes, seemingly. Well, anybody that has diabetes is because you can trace it back to the Neanderthal. You got some Neanderthal gene in you. Upwards of 2 to maybe 3%. And that trait gives you your diabetes. Neanderthals wasn't black. They was white.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay.
Well, you might have some black ones, though.
I thought I was one of them Neanderthals, man. No, well, okay, I take your point. I'm going to have to go back and check the text on the jug of whiskey, St. Louis.
So build your family. Try to do the best you can to build and establish those families. Work for and raise that child up in a very strict way, sturdy way, firm hand. And then as they grow older, you won't have to worry about them too much. But then, too, you won't never have to say to yourself, I wish I had a.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's the truth. You can go to sleep at night, can't you?
All right.
You've done the best
you can. Go to sleep at night.
All right. Well, I appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thanks for joining us there. All right, Pastor Waller, we're going to turn the floor over to you, my friend. Wrap us up for tonight. Before you go, Pastor, we've been talking tonight from the topic, focus on the family. We know that there are many variations, circumstances of families, but we're grateful to God that he's given us a word that identifies. See, that's where the concept of family came from the Lord God Almighty. Yes, sir. And so with that, we turn the floor over to Pastor Wallace and wrap us up for our conversation tonight there. By the way, I want to put a plug in for him. He's been out there working and showing love and encouragement to families. I appreciate you there, Pastor. Let me give you those roses right now on this March 15th, 2022.
Yeah, all right, brother. That's all right. When I received it, man, I embraced that. And you know, we just want to encourage the people and let them know that there is good information that's going forth. And I want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, Pastor Doctor. And also, for those that are tuned in, we can appreciate you more than you even know. And just keep tuning in, because the word does say that eyes have not seen, you know, ears have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the thing that God has prepared for those who love him. And if you have love for him, then we expect to continue to hear from you and just get the knowledge that Pastor Doctor is presented. And I know that, you know, he said, come, let us reason together. And once we do that, you know, we can help somebody, man, because the word of God is true. He said, to lean not to your own understanding.
Watch out.
Or your ways and not to him, man. I know that if we stop leaning to our own understanding, man, we'll be able to find out what it's like to have his guide, brother. So I yield back to you on that note, Pastor Doctor.
Lean not to your own.
Not. No, man, stop leaning to your own understanding. Yeah, so you get a better perspective when you know that in all your ways acknowledge him. Don't deny him.
Mm.
And that's what I have to stand on, man. I appreciate, you know, what you're doing. And it's amazing.
Yes, sir. Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my
thoughts.
Right.
That's
right. Put them on.
That's it, brother. That's it.
All right.
That
well, we started with Sly and the Family Stone, talking about the family affair. We'll end with that. And
yeah.
We'll look forward to seeing you guys on next Tuesday, Lord willing, for another episode of Talk Straight. Thank you, Brother Pastor. We appreciate you, man. And
all
we'll
right.
look forward to seeing you
all right.
next Tuesday.
All right. All right.
Cause you're all broke down. It's a family.